drink, for they are worthy. Why does God turn it into blood? He does it because He wants them to know their blood guiltiness has come home to roost. Now, beloved, you and I need to realize anarchy is going to break forth in the tribulation. It'll be one way that the Antichrist will gain a great deal of applause from the masses. He gives them an ability to use their guns, their knives, whatever. He lets them loot the people who will not take the beast's mark. He lets them kill them by whatever means and probably passes it off as a misdemeanor, an under the cuff. We all know it's all good. But the fact is, the Bible points out that every man will be against his neighbor. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, the Bible says that those enemies of a man will be those of his own household. The children will betray father and mother to death. Folks, it's going to get bad. There's, you know, blood thicker than water. Nuh-uh. It's every man for himself. And people are going to be raising the standard of, woohoo, the beast is here. Folks, the Christians are gone. We've been raptured out. Everybody who's bad is left behind. All the people who said, no, I don't want anything to do with God. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get harder and harder and harder in their hearts. Now, some of them are going to wake up and they're going to get a clue. But it will be those probably who have not heard, because God says, I'm giving them a day of grace, and today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Can't wait till the last minute. If we think we can wait till the last minute, God says He's going to Himself send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. But there will be multitudes who will be saved. And the Bible says that those who were taking the mark, got the sore, the blood was given to them to drink. The angel of the water says, this is divine justice. And look at this, verse 6, or verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. That is the voice of the saints who were martyred during the tribulation. We saw them all the way back in chapter 5 saying, how long, O Lord, till you'll take vengeance on those who took our lives? They're crying out from the altar inside the temple. They cry out and say, woohoo, hey, that's right. That's it. That's the vengeance. It's right. It's just. It's holy. Beloved, none of us would really give a plug nickel for somebody who's a judge who doesn't execute judgment according to the law of the land. I tell you something, folks, we're in a day where justice is kind of going out the window, isn't it? We have no standard anymore. We are in big, big trouble. The oligarchy of the Supreme Court stands up there and makes law today. They are really in control. More than anybody. They're not elected and they have lifetime appointments. And they think that they can take and judge the world from their podiums of authority. It's not the way the founders meant it. But God is a God who will always execute justice according to the law. And His law is set forth in His Word. You and I don't have to wonder what's right and wrong. We have a Word on it. The Ten Commandments stand at the top of the list, but there are many, many ways in which we can live it out. Example after example, and principle after principle, and proverb after proverb, how to conduct and order your life. And it is incumbent upon each one of us to get familiar personally and intimately with this book, because this book is going to be the law of eternity. The Bible says He has exalted His Word above His name. So when you throw that book underneath your seat or set it down and throw 15 other books on it, you just remember He set His Word above His name. And when He does that, we ought to honor that in our conscience. You know, when people used to walk into churches, they take their hats off. People who used to pray, I would say when they used to pray, they take their hats off. Today we're in a day where there's nothing sacred anymore. Let the last bastion of sacredness be this book, if it need be so. Treat this book as a reverent and holy thing. Don't think just because you can go buy 15 more down at the local store, it's not worth it. You need to hallow this book. Some have actually accused believers of being guilty of bibliolatry. And I say, well, okay, I'll take that. I do. I worship the Word. I worship the God of the Word. I worship God through the Word. It's my only looking glass. And without it, I'm left as a ship without a rudder or sail. And so are you. In fact, the Lord Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when we see the Scriptures, and the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass away, not one cross of the T, not one dot of the I will pass away till all be fulfilled. So don't let anybody take your Bible. It is your looking glass. It is your plumb line and standard for living. We see here that the martyred saints cry out in verse 7 for just affirming that God is true and righteous in His judgments. Verse 8 says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, understand, they've got boils already going on. Now they got no water. Now the sun's cranking up the heat. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've been dead dog tired. When I've been really, really thirsty, exhausted sometimes. Sometimes you come out of a zone where you've been doing a lot of work and you did good in the work, but the next day you wake up and you're just like, man, my legs are dragging. Folks, these folks are going to be exasperated and exhausted. We're talking about the whole earth being heated up and then being scorched. I don't know with solar flares or what, but the sun is going to be the cause. And the Bible says it's going to burn people. It's going to scorch them. If you were to look back in your passage a little bit for a moment, go back in chapter 7, if you will. And at the end of chapter 7, the Bible says of these tribulation saints, verse 13 says, and one of the elders asked me, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on His throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, literally scorch them any more, nor any heat. So even the tribulation saints are subject to this burning, this scorching, this last moment of devastation. Go back with me to chapter 16. It says that the sun was given power to scorch men with fire, and men, verse 9, were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God which had power over these plagues, and they repented not nor gave Him glory. Now, beloved, it has been suggested that if man would just see the power of God, he would turn. Even at the foot of the Savior's cross, as He hung there bleeding and dying and crying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They said, let Him come down and then we'll believe. They wouldn't have. They would not have believed. People's hearts get set up somehow. You may have had a rotten dad who was mean and abusive and hurtful, and you may have made up your mind, I don't want anything to do with God. And you know what? You have that right and you have that choice. God gives it to you. It's called free will. Maybe you went through a church and somebody bit you and you got hurt. I'll tell you what, you go to church, you're not going to find a perfect one. There's going to be porcupines in that church, and we're all like that. We bump each other, we poke each other. You're going to be hurt sometimes among the family. Jesus Himself had a traitor in His own 12. He who ate bread with me lifted up His heel against me, the Bible says. The Bible says of David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I might have could have borne it had it been an enemy that had betrayed me. But it was thou, my friend, my companion. We walked together in good counsel into the house of the Lord. And you betrayed me. You hurt me. Folks, listen. It's not an excuse. People say, well, I'd go to church if it wasn't for this or that. Folks, you're letting that stand between you and God? Don't be foolish. Don't be silly. Don't throw it all away on a whim. We are not eternal. God is. The church is not God. It's God's. And our hands and our feet, our mouthpiece, we're to be the blessing to each other as much as we can be. Because if we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be trying to help each other along. We all are strugglers here. Can I get a witness? And we all have idiosyncrasies and we all bring baggage. You get married, you find out that person you married's got baggage and you got baggage, and you find out the next day, you're like, what? And you can't get it back. You know, it's like, wait a minute, where's that paper? Honey, where'd you pack that? That marriage license thing? And some of you who knew you were the more rascally of the two hid that, didn't you? Uh-huh, they're still looking for that. Folks, listen, what I'm saying is this. As Scripture tells us very clearly that God does not change. God is immutable. God is good. And the Bible tells us that man is bent and broken. And if man continues to go on in his unrepentant condition, God will give him more grist for the mill of his unbelief. Folks, right now we have the entire media system set up to confuse and to delude the world. I should get a witness right there. It's true. We do not get the real news. You do not hear what's going on as it unfolds. You hear what they want you to hear. And I will not give illustration, for I don't feel I need to. There's so many of them. There are people crying out the truth. And if the truth is wanted, it can be accessed. But people are comfortable with lies. And you can find lies on every corner. You can find people who get lit up about lies. They're all excited about lies. And eventually, they will believe the lies. We've all heard it said. They say it all the time. They say, people, I know a guy, man, he so told somebody like he doesn't even know what the truth is anymore. And we know people like that. And sadly, many people in the church are like that. They've embraced lies. They don't understand what's right and wrong because they've not taken the plumb line of the light of God's Word, put it next to their lives, and looked at life through what God said's coming. I think it's so exciting to just read this. It's coming down to it. We see everything priming up for it. And we see God getting ready to just break the skies, and we're right this close, and we can find a little motivation to live a little bit more for Jesus because of His Word. Beloved, we come together in the clearing today and we sit back and we say, oh yeah. Ah. Well, the Bible says that they repented not in order to give Him glory. And if you think when somebody's cast in hell, they're going to be giving Him glory in eternity, saying, well, he was right. The only way man who is unrepentant will give glory to God is when He makes and compels every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He will compel it, and then He will cast them off. And they will hate Him for it. As they hated Him in their lives, they will hate Him in eternity. People who do not want God will be given what they want. Existence apart from God. They are thieves, for they eat His bread and they drink His water. They enjoy His earth and His sunshine and His good days and His rain and His springtime harvest. They enjoy it all. They are thieves. It is His world. And He is going to take it back. Verse 10 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains, there it is, and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now what we have here is a spotlight going literally down to the throne of the beast, and extending to the entire kingdom of the beast. And that is a political regime, a political system that will be in place. One world government, one world ruler, one man who has the power of the devil himself, who will be made to sit and take a time out. Because God's that big. And I don't care how big you get politically, God is bigger. And God ain't scared. He just turns the light out. The pain's still there. They gnaw their teeth and they get more mad and more angry, angrier and angrier as the lights are out. Gnashing their teeth. How dare he? This is my time! And folks, people are like that today in their own little kingdoms. How dare God touch my house? How dare God touch my job? How dare God touch my health? How dare God touch my child? Listen, if we would just lay down arms and we would just throw ourselves into His mercy, He will help us make sense of whatever may come. The biggest issue of all is that this is not all there is. And no matter how bad it may get down here, for the believer, a better day is coming. We have that hope. We have that vouchsafed to us, sealed with the Savior's blood. He rose from the dead. When I talked about miracles of the Red Sea parting and of the plagues of Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah, what about 3,000 Jewish people getting saved 50 days after Jesus was crucified by the very people that converted? They had every reason not to believe and to reject and deny. But they know He rose from the dead. And so they said, what must we do to be saved? They were the ones who should have said, it didn't happen. We know it's a lie. There is no way. No. Holy Spirit came. They spoke with foreign languages. And people heard the gospel declared in their own dialect. Not just their language, but the twang was there too. God said, I know who you are, and I know how to speak to you, and I know what you need to hear. And if you'll just lean in and listen, I will show you my heart. And every single time His heart is displayed in the cross. Your sin deserved to be slaughtered. Smashed like a bug on a windshield. That should be me. That should be you. And Jesus said, take me. I'll go. I'll take it for him. That's His heart. And it's historical. It's real. And it's powerful. And now He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not rocket science. It is simple as God can make it, because God is the genius who framed it all, who confounds the scientists as they dig deeper and deeper into the microscope, look deeper and deeper into space through the telescope, confounded, because that's who He is. And yet simple enough that a child can understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bought and paid for, paid in full. Jesus said it on the cross. It is finished, paid in full, literally translates that. Verse 11 says, and they blasphemed the God of heaven, their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. That is a theme over and over, and it will be repeated one last time because we're coming down to the end. In verse 21, they don't repent either. But verse 12 first, it says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east